welcome to another installment of the OmniCare Clinical Nurse Podcast Series. Our goal is to touch on relevant topics that are common to the post-acute care setting. The clinical nursing team at OmniCare is comprised mostly of former post-acute directors of nursing, regional nurses, and infusion nurse specialists. My name is Vanessa Moore, and I am a clinical nurse here at OmniCare, and I will be your host today. Joining today is Amy Mueller, Doctor of Nursing Practice, Infusion Nurse Educator. For today's topic, we will be discussing chronic kidney disease and nursing considerations for the care of residents with this diagnosis. Amy, thank you for joining us on today's call. Can you tell us a little bit about why this topic is so important to our listeners?
Thank you, Vanessa. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, more than 1 in 7, that's 15% of the population in the United States, is estimated to have chronic kidney disease. An astonishing 2 in 5 adults with severe CKD are not even aware they have this disease.
We should start by asking, what is chronic kidney disease and how is it caused?
Chronic kidney disease is a long-term medical condition where the kidneys gradually lose function. This disease is caused by several factors, including hypertension, diabetes, polycystic kidney disease, obstructive nephropathy, autoimmune diseases, and prolonged use of NSAIDs and some antibiotics.
What are the risk factors associated with CKD?
Several risk factors are associated with chronic kidney disease. Family history increases the risk of CKD, along with age, especially after the age of 50 years old. African Americans, Hispanics, and Native Americans have a higher risk of developing CKD. Medical conditions such as high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular disease all place strain on the kidneys, causing damage that increases the risk of developing CKD.
What are certain therapies that can help patients with CKD?
Dietary changes can make a difference in the management of CKD over the long term. Dietitian recommendations for dietary changes include managing and tracking the intake of protein, sodium, potassium, and phosphorus to meet patient nutritional needs, but also maximize the individual's current kidney function. Fluid management is also vital. It is important to monitor for fluid retention and electrolyte imbalances. Lifestyle changes, including weight loss, limiting alcohol consumption, smoking cessation, and regular exercise, can slow the progression of CKD and reduce the risk of complications. Medication therapy is another strategy and will vary depending upon the patient's stage of kidney disease and the underlying causes of CKD. Advanced stages of CKD may require dialysis and kidney transplant.
Are there any medications with special considerations for nursing practice?
Phosphate binders are commonly used to reduce phosphate levels in CKD patients. Nursing considerations with these medications include administering with meals to reduce the GI side effects such as nausea and vomiting, monitoring for constipation, and lab monitoring for serum phosphate levels. Signs of unbalanced phosphorus levels include irregular breathing, confusion, muscle cramps, bone and joint pain, weakness, and/or itchy skin or rash. Diuretics may be prescribed to manage fluid overload and hypertension. A few examples of fluid overload are edema, coughing, and shortness of breath. Nursing considerations include monitoring for fluid and electrolyte imbalances and assessing for signs and symptoms of dehydration. A few examples of dehydration are dizziness, confusion, dry mucous membranes, dark-colored urine, and/or increased heart rate. Erythropoiesis stimulating agents, or ESAs, such as Procrit, Retacrit, and Aranesp, are prescribed to treat anemia in CKD patients. Nursing considerations include monitoring hemoglobin levels, assessing for hypertension, and thromboembolic events, and patient education for medication compliance with ESA therapy.
Can you tell me why patients always have low hemoglobin and hematocrit?
Well, kidneys produce the hormone erythropoietin, which stimulates the production of red blood cells in the bone marrow. In CKD, the impaired kidneys produce a decreased amount of erythropoietin, resulting in subsequent anemia.
Are patients at higher risk for bleeding?
Yes, CKD patients are at higher risk of bleeding due to several factors, including impaired clotting factors and abnormalities in platelet functions.
It seems that patients with CKD and low hemoglobin could be a high risk for falls.
You're right. Low hemoglobin is one factor CKD patients have that increases their risk of falls. Low hemoglobin causes fatigue, muscle weakness, and decreased cognitive function. Neuropathy and bone disorders are additional medical complications that can further increase a CKD patient's fall risk.
What role does ESA therapy play in CKD?
ESA therapy helps to treat anemia in CKD patients by stimulating the production of red blood cells in the bone marrow, which can improve patient energy levels.
Should nurses be aware of any details surrounding ESA therapy prior to administering?
Yes, that's a great question. Do not shake the medication or use if the medication has changed colors or has particles present, and prepare the injection at the time of administration.
How must ESA therapy be stored? And are there vital signs important to evaluate prior to administering the injection?
ESA therapy needs stored in the refrigerator and protected from light. Single-dose vials need thrown away after one use, regardless of the amount left in the vial. Multiple-dose vials are good for 21 days after opened or the manufacturer's expiration date, whichever comes first.
Thanks, Amy, and it's important to note, always refer to the manufacturer's guidelines with any medications. Are there any other nursing considerations when managing the resident with CKD?
I'm glad you asked. One thing that is often overlooked is vein preservation. Residents with CKD may end up on hemodialysis, and venous access is critical to the success of this therapy. We should always initiate vein preservation strategies in patients with known stage 4 or 5 chronic kidney disease, including patients currently on dialysis or with a functional kidney transplant.
That's a great point, Amy. What are some vein preservation strategies?
Well, one strategy is to identify those residents using some type of standardized identifier in the medical record. This should consistently be utilized facility-wide. Another tip is during phlebotomy or peripheral venous access, use the smallest gauge needle and preferred locations for venous access. Your first choice should be the dorsal veins of the dominant hand. When unable to use those dorsal veins, use this as a guide. Number one, if there is no fistula or graft present, use the dominant forearm. Number two, if the fistula graft is present, use the other forearm. If long-term access is required, do not use a peripheral inserted central line catheter or a PICC line, and always consult with patient's nephrologist for alternatives.
Yes, thanks, Amy. These are very important points. Thank you for your expertise today. As a recap of today's episode, when helping your patient to manage chronic kidney disease, there are many actions you can discuss with them. Start with information about dietary changes that can help alleviate the symptoms of CKD and slow the disease progression. Things like reducing sodium and moderating protein intake and tracking potassium and phosphorus intake. Give residents examples of healthy food choices and foods to avoid to help them get started. Encourage your patients to track their symptoms and to report changes in their health at every checkup and anytime they suspect something may be changing or getting worse. Stress the importance of follow-up lab work and teach your patients the signs of low hemoglobin and high phosphorus levels so they can be better aware if they're experiencing these effects. Lastly, encourage your patient. Tell them about ESA therapy and that using these strategies and others will help them to live with CKD and manage its progression through their life. That will wrap up today's discussion of chronic kidney disease and nursing consideration. Our goal is to help you provide the best possible care for your resident by providing the resources and education when and where you need them. Thank you, Amy, for joining us today and sharing your expertise. I'd also like to thank everybody joining us today for this podcast. We truly hope that you've learned something and look forward to having you tune in for additional podcasts in the future. If any of our listeners have questions regarding the information that we discussed today, please reach out to your Omnicare clinical nurse or account manager. If you're interested in or are not familiar with Omnicare's vast array of services, please contact us at elearning@omnicare.com. Have a great day.